Well, last week we began the exposition of Jonah, and we didn't get very far. We got three verses, and today we will get three more. And so this is an incredible book of God's compassion and the command of His children to be moving temples, vehicles of grace in this lost world. We are to love the commands of God and obey the commands of God. Amen. And really, those two things we understand are connected. That if we don't obey the commands of God, we really don't love the commands of God, nor do we love the Lord. And so as a way of reminder, last week we discussed the truth that Jonah is a prophet chosen by God who had, past tense, obeyed God. But this time is different. Jonah received a command from God to go, and Jonah does not obey. God calls on Jonah and says, go to Nineveh. And how does Jonah respond? He says, no. God says, call out against it. Jonah says, no. God says, warn them, call them to repent. I see their evil. And Jonah says, no. Jonah responded with evil. He tried to flee from God's felt presence. He pays money to go in the opposite direction, and God sovereignly controls the day, doesn't He? So Jonah was a prophet of God, but he was a prophet of God without present obedience. Church family and visitors, please do not miss this. Our past obedience does not justify present disobedience. Please understand that. We cannot live in the past. We are not living in the past. We are living right now before the Lord. Last week, I ended up giving us all a challenge, myself included, a challenge to take our eyes off of Jonah and to place them on God and our life, right? So have you been obedient this past week? Did you bear fruit for the Lord over the last 7 days? Have you faithfully been sitting at the feet of Christ, at the table of Christ? Have you had eyes of compassion and served those around you? Have you proclaimed the good news of Christ to anyone? Have you proclaimed the good news of Christ to yourself? So before we begin, and we really don't see Jonah, we see ourselves today. Let's go to the Lord and ask for help. And so, Father, we thank You for this morning. We call on You to teach us. Father, we come before You with an expectation that You would meet with us. Father, that we would hear Your word and we would obey it. Give us eyes as we study Your word to obey Your holy word. Father, reveal our sin to us, and may we live a life that is pleasing to You. And we ask this in the name of Christ. Amen. All right, Jonah chapter 1, for context, we'll begin in verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before Me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word. So, beginning with verse 4, basically what you have is Jonah has heard the words of God and he has disobeyed a direct command. And Jonah was not confused. He understood exactly what the Lord was calling him to do. He knew exactly what God was going to do through his commanded proclamation that he was to give, right? As we looked at last week, we fast forward to the end of Jonah. We saw that he said, I knew what you were going to do, God. I knew that you were going to have compassion on these people, that you're a God of grace and mercy, and you were going to save them. And that's why I didn't go. So he understood the words of God exactly. And I know that what I'm about to say is not anything new to you, but we live in an evil world because of sin. We live in an evil world because of sin. When Adam sinned, all humanity and all of creation became corrupt. Scripture declares that because of Adam's sin, the curse, you and I were born sinners. I want you to listen to these texts. The first one comes from Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verses 1 through 5. The psalmist is declaring, have mercy on me. Why? Because we're sinners. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me. Why? Why do we need to be washed? Because we're sinners. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So from birth we were born sinners. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. It says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned. That's the key in this passage. The law came and revealed to us that we were sinners. But even before the law came, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespass brought justification. For if by because of one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is not only important as we look at the exposition of Jonah, this is important even as we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, right? As we remember what Christ has done on our behalf, that death reigned before the law, but with the law we are charged guilty. Even before the law came, death came because of sin. We live in a sinful world that loves darkness. We love sin in every way, is affected by sin every way. To love sin is to hate the truth. To love sin is to suppress the truth. To love sin is to rebel against God's holiness and to be an enemy of God. We are all sinners, and we know that sin has consequences. But I think something that we often forget is sin has consequences today. It's not just sin affects the future. Sin affects right now, doesn't it? Of all that I have just mentioned, You think of the sin in our world even right now. You have national powers, you have governments, war, AIDS, cancer, abortion, racism, floods, fires, orphans, same-sex marriages. But do you truly believe that the biggest problem this world has is sin? Do you really believe, God's people, that the greatest problem in this world is sin? Because if we do, this has extreme applications to our life even today. Because if we're honest, God's church as a whole does not really live like the greatest problem is sin. Do we? Like holistically, not just foundation, the so-called church, do we really live like sin is the biggest problem? If the bride of Christ believed this, the bride would be proclaiming the truth that brings people out from their sin. See, one of the things that I think that we become so consumed in is all these little bitty battles that don't really get to the core. Abortion is not the battle that we are fighting 24/7. Neither is homosexuality or gay marriage or all these other different things. What is the problem? Sin. That's the issue. We did all those things before we were saved. That's the problem. They're going to keep doing those things until they hear the gospel being proclaimed. That's what we need to be fighting. The problem is sin. And that's what people do continually until the gospel is proclaimed. Sin is the problem. The only answer is Jesus Christ. And that's the good news. That God sent a Savior into this evil world knowing beforehand what we were going to do to Him. What a prodigal God. That Christ is our only righteousness. That Christ is the only justification for sin. That Christ died for the sins of His children. He paid the penalty in full, the price that we could not pay. And all who repent, all who believe, they will be saved. You know, that's good news. It's not just good news for us. It's good news for all to hear. Sin is the problem and Christ is the only answer. We sometimes suffer because of our sin, and sometimes we suffer because we live in a sinful, fallen, wicked world. Both of those things. Suffering is also an avenue that the Lord wills to use in this sinful world and the lives of His sinful children to conform them more into the image of Christ. And we see this today in the life of Jonah. Jonah has his plan, doesn't he? I mean, think about this. You're Jonah, and God has called on you. You're a prophet of God. You've obeyed God in the past, and God invades on your life and says, Jonah, I want you to go and do this. And immediately, Jonah's got his plan. I'm going to sell my belongings. I'm going to gather all my money, and I'm going to go in the opposite direction. But please, 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 don't miss the sovereignty of the Lord here. God is using the sin of Jonah for His glory. What a great God we serve, right? What a glorious king, because a sinning king could not do this. You would have to be sovereign and holy. A king who punishes sin, but who is also all-powerful and is working all things together for His glory and the good of His children, just like the good of Jonah. Look at verse 4. So Jonah's got his plan. He gets on the boat. He goes down into the boat. Verse 4. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so the ship threatened to break up. So Jonah leaves on a ship from Joppa, not headed to Nineveh, but headed to Tarshish. In fact, the text informs us three times in verse 3 alone that Jonah is going to Tarshish. He says, Tarshish, Tarshish, Tarshish. So he is totally trying to ignore the fact that God said, go to Nineveh. But Jonah cannot escape the commands of God. And church family, we cannot either. Especially now, we have it in written form, right? We have it in our language. What excuse do we have? Just like Jonah, we cannot escape the commands of God. They are ever before us. And even through Jonah, even though he has his plans, the Lord directs his path every step, according to Proverbs 16, verse 9. So Jonah journeys down the sea of disobedience. He abandons his mission, and the Lord shows his power. What happens? What does God do? Well, what does the verse say? God hurled a great wind upon the sea. So God sent out a great wind. There is a mighty tempest on the sea. So God caused a great storm to take place. And this storm was so great, it's as if the ship is about to fall apart. Barnhouse made this statement concerning Jonah and our life. See, when you run away from the Lord, you never get to where you are going. Can anybody identify with that? When you run away from the Lord, you never get to where you're going, and you always pay your own fare. Sin has consequences. It costs you. You have to pay a price. On the other hand, when you go the Lord's way, you always get to where you are going, and He pays the fare. See, many times I don't think we really believe that, because when God calls us to do something, do not doubt that God of this world and universe cannot provide what He is calling you to do. That is a great doubt, is it not? Lord, I can't do this. I don't have the money. Do you think God serves money? Or money serves God? He's in control. God sees everything. The sin of Jonah is not overlooked by the Lord, just as our sin is not overlooked by the Lord even now. God is El Roy, the God who sees. Genesis 16, 13 and 14 is a great example of this, of the life of Hagar. This is what is happening. Hagar is running because she has been mistreated. And this is what it says. So she called on the name of the Lord who spoke to her, and she said, "You are a God of seeing." For she said, "Truly here I have seen him who looks after me." God is looking down on us right now. He sees everything right now, even what you do not see with your own eyes. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. It says, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father." As we've been discussing on Wednesday night, looking at the providence of God, if two birds can't fall to the ground without God knowing about it, what does that mean about our life? See, many times it's a comfort that God knows every square inch of you, and many times it's scary. Is that not true? God sees us. He sees our sin. He sees our faithfulness. He sees our struggles. He sees our anxiety. He sees our desire and our joy to obey Him and to love Him. He sees our heart when it's aching, the pain. The most holy God of all, the universe, calls on you to go to Him and not to flee from Him. Don't run. See, God is not a creative being. He is not like us. He is preeminent. He has always existed. He is not limited. He is completely holy, completely powerful, completely sovereign, and completely love and completely just. So to try to flee from the Lord, that is foolishness. We're not called to flee from Him. Flee to Him. Where else do you have to go? Right? Which brings us to point number two, verse 5. Never, never, never make peace with your sin. never make peace with your sin. Then the mariners were afraid and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the great wind sent by the Lord is causing a major storm in the waters. The waves are rocking. The ship is at the brink of destruction. And the result, the mariners are fearful of their life. So much so that they are crying out to all their different little gods. This past week, God graced us with rain. And I know right now in what we see, we think it here, we're thankful for it. There's people in Louisiana who are not. But I remember listening to the rain fall heavy and the thunder was shaking the ground close to our house. And while thinking what this storm must have been like while a ship is out in the waters when it's not on the ground. That God causes storm and it's shaking back and forth. I mean, you have mariners who are freaking out. These are people that are on the ship continually. They're freaking out. They're throwing cargo over the sea. They say, call out to your God, call out to your God, call out to your God. And it got to the point to where those who had, they had no response from God. So they threw the cargo over into the sea to lighten the ship. They threw their payment away. I mean, why were they traveling to begin with? They were hauling different things because they were getting paid for it. So they got their money that they needed to live by and they threw it over into the water. And all this is happening while Jonah is where? He's asleep. My wife has experienced this. I am a heavy sleeper. There are many nights with all three of our children, I wake up and I'm refreshed. My wife looks over at me and she's like, did you not hear Addie at like 2 a.m.? No. Did you not hear Colby at 1 and 4 and 6? Nope. What'd you hear? You know, Jonah was trying to flee from God's felt presence, and besides going the opposite direction, the best thing to do is to not think about God and just to go to sleep. And you can make myriads of applications from this, but to be honest with you, most of the church today is asleep. And I don't doubt that Jonah was tired. I don't doubt that Jonah could have been a heavy sleeper, but I also do not doubt that this is the cause of not noticing his shelter being rocked back and forth. But Jonah was trying to flee from the felt presence of God. Church family, we are Jonah in so many ways. We are Jonah. We try and we try to justify our sin. We make peace with it. We push away his commands. We make peace with how we currently live our life because we don't want to change, but we are called to never make peace with sin. Sin brings forth death. Sin kills us, right? It kills us. Sin has consequences and sin will be judged by a holy God. And so what sins are in your life right now? If you need to write them down, write them down. If you need to ask somebody close to you, ask somebody close to you. They'll tell you. Just be ready. What are your sins currently? How long have they existed? Is it like a major stronghold or is it something that has recently entered into your life? What peace have you made? God hates sin. And he hates sin when? All the time. There's never a time that God loves sin. We are to hate sin all the time as well. And then we get to the encouragement. Look at verse 6. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." So the captain of the ship is stumbling about through this storm. He finds Jonah asleep and he calls on him to get up, to arise and call out to his God. The original language actually kind of implies that there was a chance that Jonah was snoring and it was so loud that that's how the captain found him. So take notice. What did the captain say to Jonah? Arise! Had Jonah heard that word before when he woke up? From God? Arise! That he's having flashbacks. The ship captain, by command of the captain, calls on Jonah to arise. Wake up. And you have this lost man that wakes up a prophet of God. He wakes him up and says, call out to your God. Do you see what God is doing? He's like, Jonah, I have called you to go and do something. I'm going to use the lost people around you to wake you up. So Jonah is trying to sleep. He's trying to ignore the Lord. And the lost captain of the ship walks up to Jonah, wakes him up, and he says, arise, call out to your God. There's no doubt sometimes we need people like that in our life, don't we? You need men or women in your life to come up and say, call out to God. What are you doing? Repent. Wake up, get right with him right now. And the captain is definitely not doing this for his own sake. I mean, for Jonah's sake, he's doing it for himself. He's like, man, we're in a storm. The ship's about to fall apart. Call out to your God. Maybe your God will help us. Maybe your God will save us from death, because all the other gods we called out to, they didn't do anything. In fact, we threw everything over the sea. Nothing happened. In times of not knowing what will happen, the uncertain crew is calling for help from a God. Church family, has really anything changed today? How many people does God use circumstances when people are on their deathbed, when people are going through certain situations in their life, and then the atheist or the agnostic actually realize, I have no hope for anything. And God uses that to say, you're right. You need to call on someone who actually is the only hope. Even in Jonah's rebellion as a prophet, God is going to use Jonah as a witness to these men. I love that. We're going to see in the few verses ahead that even through Jonah's wickedness and rebellion, that God says, guess what? These people are going to see you call out to me, and all this stuff is going to happen. And they're going to realize there's one true living God. See, God will use you and I as He sees fit for His divine will. And I know that's a large pill to swallow. But understand this, it is a scary thing to be a child of God living in rebellion. It is a scary thing to be a child of God living in rebellion. See, to taste the beauty of God's grace and to cherish sin more than His holiness, that is a terrifying status of your current state and soul. Never make peace with any sin. Never. Call it sin, as God does. Repent from it. Give it to the Lord. Fill your life with obedience by resting with Him. As I said before, when I greeted you all this morning, one of the joys as a pastor is you get to know intimate things about individuals. And as I look out upon this congregation today, I don't have enough fingers to tell you all the things I know that's going on. There is pain. There is suffering. There's anxiety. There's worry. You feel like you've been beat up. You feel like you're on the ship with Jonah. And you've been being faithful, but you're going through all these different things. And whether you're in sin or not, the calling is the same. Arise and call out on the Lord. Trust Him. Give everything to Him. God hates the sin of Jonah. He hates the sin of Nineveh, and that's why He's sending Jonah. And God hates our sin. And maybe you're not struggling with a certain sin, but make no mistake, if you're not spending time with God, you're in sin. So the Lord encourages us to be clean, to forsake our sin, to turn from it. Hide yourself in the Word of God. Guard your life with the words of God, as Psalm 119 instructs all of us. Delight in the Lord, as Psalm 1 instructs us. Because the warning, Hebrews 10, verse 31, it is a fearful thing. It is a fearful thing. He's writing to the church to fall into the hands of the living God. It is a fearful thing. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11, it says, and He gave the apostles, He gave the prophets, He gave the evangelists, He gave the shepherds, He gave the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Why? For building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. So we won't get tossed back and forth. So we won't get on the boat to try to flee from God's presence. So a major storm doesn't come. But don't hear me say this. A storm can come even when you're living for the Lord. Perfect example is, who gave Satan the name of Job? God. Satan had no idea who Job was. No clue. It says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him, into Christ, who is the head, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, even each part is working properly. He makes the body grow so it builds itself up in love. Church, that's not only an encouragement for you this morning. For me personally, as your pastor, it's a major encouragement. Because I'm not the head. This is not my church. This is God's church. It says we are not to be disobedient, but when we are, we are living as infants. That's what the Scripture says. And what we see here from Jonah is he was living as an infant. He was being tossed to and fro by the wind. He was not growing up. He was suppressing the words of God. He was living in sin. But praise be to God that God intimately called Jonah and graciously dealt with Jonah while he was sinning. But make no mistake, Jonah suffered. Do you see that? Was he not suffering? And in fact, his sin affected the whole crew. It affected the money of everybody. It affected the cargo. The ship was about to break apart. Jonah was suffering. So I beg of you this morning, as I have pleaded with myself all week, hate sin. If there's one prayer for you to pray all week long, Lord, I pray that I would hate sin as much as You do. Lord, may I hate sin, Lord. May I turn from it, because sin has consequences. Never make peace with your sin. Arise and call out to the Lord. May the Lord wake us up. May we call out.